John chapter 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I've entitled a sermon for this evening, "Believing the Unbelievable." Dear congregation, this evening I want to focus on a post-resurrection appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. He says, "If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our preaching is useless. Our faith is in vain, and we are false witnesses about God." And so he challenged them about this because people struggle to believe. And perhaps this evening, you too may have struggled with believing from time to time. Perhaps you struggled with your faith. And maybe you've gone through a season of doubt, skepticism, unbelief, or even questioning. And therefore the account of Thomas can help us to navigate our doubts and to give us a path forward of faith and life in our spiritual journey. Now, text for this evening brings us to John's purpose for writing his gospel. First, John illustrates his purpose with the account of Thomas having his doubts cleared up as he encounters the risen Christ, and he confesses, "My Lord and my God." And then he states his purpose clearly in verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. In other words, the aim of the gospel is that we would believe and we would worship the risen Savior. In fact, Thomas moved from doubting Christ's resurrection to believing and worshiping him as his risen Lord and God. And John wants all of us. He wants all of us to come to that same point of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Or to put it another way, he wants us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so that we may have life in his name. But in order to come to that place, we have to join Thomas in overcoming the enemy of faith that is called doubt. Now, I'm sure we all are familiar with the expression, "Seeing is believing." I will only believe it if I see it. In other words, what they are really saying is that in order to fully accept something as true, they must see it with their own eyes. And this seems to be the attitude of many people because of perhaps what is going on in the world today. That makes them skeptical too. Or what is happening in politics perhaps, as we all are preparing to vote on the 3rd of May. And we almost every day you hear on television all the politicians and all the promises that they make. And sometimes they don't keep those promises. And it makes us skeptical too. And I think what is happening perhaps with AI as well. So many things seem so real. But then we see that it is not true. And it makes us skeptical as well. So our passage of scripture for today, we see that Thomas had a similar attitude, very skeptical. Thomas accepts only what he can see and touch, somehow measure and weigh. And therefore, if you are in such a position today, allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart, to challenge your faith, and to help you to believe without doubting. Now, from our very limited knowledge of Thomas, he was considered a skeptic, a doubter. And we see this clearly in our passage of Scripture. Because when Jesus appeared to the other disciples, Thomas was not with them. And perhaps the horrific circumstances in which our Lord Jesus Christ died impacted him. And so he wanted to be alone. As someone said, unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God, but faith puts God between us and our circumstances. Take note of it again. Unbelief puts our circumstances between us and our God, but faith puts God between us and our circumstances. Now the disciples were convinced that they saw the Lord Jesus in the flesh after the resurrection. That they did not see a ghost or a spirit because Jesus showed them his hands and his feet. And so the disciples then told Thomas that Jesus was alive, that he had risen indeed because they saw him. But when Thomas heard their witness, he refused to believe. Simply, Thomas did not want to accept their word. He doubted their conviction and he even questioned their sight. In verse 25, Thomas then says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into those nail prints and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. The ESV puts it even stronger. I will never believe it. And here we see Thomas ask for more than what was offered to the other disciples. Jesus showed the other disciples his hands and side, and they were convinced that he rose again, and they believed. But Thomas wanted more. He wanted both to feel and to touch and see before he would believe. It is Thomas should have known better. First, for doubting the words of his friends and companions, because he lived and walked with them for over 3 years or more, and he knew them well. And yet he refused to believe what they said about the risen Christ. Also, Thomas should have known better for insisting on proof or for a sign or for evidence to confirm that Jesus Christ was alive. And when the other disciples saw Jesus, they believed. And that was not good enough for Thomas. He would only believe if he would see and touch. For example, we know that at Cana in Galilee, Jesus condemned this kind of attitude that was portrayed by Thomas. In John 4 verse 48. Unless your people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus said, you will never believe. So Thomas in this case was acting like the people of Cana. He wanted to see something miraculous. He wanted to see something spectacular. He wanted to see something with his own eyes before he would believe that Jesus was really alive. Yes, Thomas should have known better, because he was with Jesus when the son of the widow of Nain was raised to life. John 7 verse 14. Thomas was with Jesus also when Jesus called Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth from the tomb after 4 days being dead. And he was a disciple of Jesus. Also when Jairus' daughter was raised back to life. Mark 5 verse 41. And we also know that Thomas was there when Peter made his great confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, Thomas was right there. He saw it all. He heard it. He knew it. And yet he demanded for a sign before he would believe. You see, Jesus identified Thomas's problem when he said, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. And since then he was given that nickname, Didymus, Doubting Thomas. And remember, doubting implies having a feeling of uncertainty. A feeling of uncertainty or a lack of conviction. And in a sense, Thomas acted like, and even thought like the unbelieving Jews. He was a doubter. He knew better, yet he refused to believe. He doubted the witness of his friends and companions. He doubted the promise of the scriptures. He doubted the prophecies of Christ. He doubted the miracles that he saw with his own eyes. Dear brothers and sisters, this evening, are we like Thomas? Are we like Thomas? Do we doubt the authority of the scriptures? Do we demand a sign before we can believe? Do we have a wait and see attitude? Or bring me the proof attitude? I do sincerely hope and pray that none of us doubt what is written in the infallible Word of God, the Bible. In verse 26 it says, 1 week later, Thomas was with the disciples again at the same place. It was exactly the same situation as before. They were meeting secretly because they feared the Jewish authorities. The doors were locked. The windows were blocked. And once again, Jesus suddenly appears in their midst. And after greeting and blessing them, Jesus turned to Thomas and said, in verse 27, Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Here's the proof that you demanded before you would believe. Jesus said, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Dear brothers and sisters, it turned out that Thomas was not quite the skeptic that he thought he was. Because at the sight and perhaps the sound of Jesus, we find that all the doubts and unbelief came crumbling down. As Jesus said in verse 29, because you have seen me, you have believed. In other words, it was enough. It was enough for Thomas to see and hear. He didn't need to touch and feel Jesus. He didn't need to proceed with his proposed test. Instead, he saw, he heard, and he responded, my Lord and my God. Here we see that a skeptic was now convinced. We are encouraged by the wonderful profession of faith that Thomas made. My Lord and my God. In other words, he recognized in Jesus someone who besides the Father was deserving of worship and praise. He recognized in Jesus someone who as Lord and King deserves our hearts, our lives and our all. And therefore, this is the fulfillment of what the Lord Jesus said in John 5 verse 23. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. So in this chapter, John gives us four examples of those who saw and believed. For example, John, who came to believe, not by seeing the risen Christ, but by seeing the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus, but did not recognize and confess him as Lord until he called her name. The disciples saw Jesus and they believed. And Thomas also sees Jesus and believes, but only after insisting on proof. As Jesus says in verse 29, because you have seen me, you have believed. But in the same verse, Jesus also speaks about another kind of belief, another kind of faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they have believed. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the kind of faith that you and I have today. For example, we didn't have the privilege of seeing the empty tomb or the risen Christ, just like the way the disciples or Mary or Thomas or John or the other disciples did. But we are called to believe without seeing. We are called to believe without seeing. Remember the Apostle Peter. He spoke about this kind of faith in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 and 9. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith and the salvation of your souls. Yes, we may not have the privilege of sight or touch or taste or sound or smell to convince us that Christ has risen. But in faith we proclaim that he has risen. That he has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Dear brothers and sisters, our faith cannot depend upon sight. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. We have to live by a faith that does not see what we believe. We witness neither the resurrection nor seen the resurrected Christ, and yet we believe that Christ is risen. Let me explain it this way. You see, there are things that we cannot see, but we accept it. We accept it, we believe it. For example, electricity. A child was told by a mum not to put a finger into the wall plug because electricity is dangerous and it will shock her. And she responded, electricity is dangerous, but I can't see it, mum. Another good example is the coronavirus situation. Although we could not see the virus, and yet we saw and we experienced the devastating effect of the virus throughout the world. There are things that we cannot see, but yet it has a devastating effect. Dear brothers and sisters, these examples help us to believe without seeing. We believe in the risen Christ without seeing the risen Lord Jesus. But when we think about it this afternoon or evening, we realize that almost everything about our Christian faith comes down to faith rather than sight. For example, without seeing, we believe. Without seeing, we believe that there is a God. Without seeing, we know that God made the universe out of nothing. that Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father, that there is a heaven and a hell, that there is the Spirit who works in our hearts. You see, without seeing, we believe that there is the resurrection of the body. Without seeing, we believe that there is life everlasting for those who believe in Christ. Faith without sight, that is what we are called to have. Believing without seeing, that is what we are encouraged to have, encouraged to do. After all, that is the definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And therefore, how do we obtain this kind of faith? A faith that believes without seeing. Well, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit with us and in us. Because without the Spirit, it is impossible to believe without seeing. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit who produces faith in our hearts to believe. Verse 29, we notice how Jesus praises and he blesses those who believe without seeing. Blessed are those, says Jesus, who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus blesses those who, although they have not seen him, yet they still confess him as Lord and God. There is a special blessing reserved for those with a faith which can trust absolutely. Jesus acknowledges those without seeing and still confess, Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Dear brothers and sisters, can I humbly ask this evening, do you believe without seeing that Jesus died for your sins and rose again for your justification? Are you convinced about what you believe as a believer in Christ? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we are grateful for this opportunity of listening to your word. We confess that we can be so weak and sinful in our lives. Sometimes we don't trust others, or seeds of doubt begin to creep in because of the lies planted by the enemy. We become proud and we turn away. But we know that your Spirit lives in us and shows us the truth and convinces our hearts of the evidence of your goodness and your glory. Lord, enable us to push our own will aside in favor of your Spirit within us, who opens our eyes to your ways and your plan. Lord, help us never to doubt who you are and what you can do. Father, in your mercy, remove our doubts and increase our faith. And like Thomas, Lord, help us to move away from our unbelief, to shrug off all our worries, our concerns, and simply to rest in you and believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.